welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hi. Jill, are you there too?
I'm here.
Hi, everyone. My name is LaVon Spielhaber, and my friend who is the guest is Jill Peterson. And today, this is kind of a new thing for us, and so it's new for you, at least we are new for you. So I was telling my friend here, my guest, that we're probably going to just talk today, introducing ourselves, telling you about ourselves. And please feel free to call. I'm going to give out the numbers right now because have questions or you want to share similar to what we're going to be sharing. The phone number is 877-876-5227, and the Canadian number is 888-815-9756. Now, I may repeat that later. I guess it's on the internet screen if you need to call. So just feel really free to talk because that's what we're all about today. We want to tell folk what we're all about, and we'd like to get to know more about you. Okay, so I have been into this mindset for maybe 5-6 years. Jill, what would you say you've been kind of meaning this mindset, you know, this more esoteric mindset?
Well, I think, you know, that's such a hard question because for a lot of us, if you really think back, you know, anybody who's listening would be listening because of a broadened sense of spirit, a broadened sense of humanity, knowing that there's more to who we are than what we've been taught either in our family structures or our educational structures or our religious structures. So, you know, when I'm asked that question, I almost want somebody to define for me, well, what do you mean in this mindset? Because I can think back, and we all can, when we were kids. And there were thoughts we had or phenomena that might have occurred for us that we told our parents about or we told our teachers about or we told our Sunday school teachers about, and we were simply poo-pooed. You know, oh, you know, those thoughts aren't real, or those experiences you're having aren't real, and, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, the long answer is, since I was a very young child, the short answer is, I would guess in the early 80s, early to mid-80s, I started looking into, you know, all things spiritual, all things religious, all things philosophical. And so it's been 85, 95, you know, I would guess it's been a 20 to 25-year process of really delving into what is the deeper human and spiritual experience for humanity. And that answer is as varied as there are stars in the sky. For everybody, it's something different.
Yes, yes. Well, I guess now that you bring it out like that, I have to admit, too, that when I was younger, I saw things that have been, you know, what people may say is not of the good side.
Right.
And I found out that a lot of that was you know, it's not bad. It is good. It's just against certain groups that we were with, against their mindset, against their beliefs. Even as young as about 4, I remember my mother was going to take me to the dentist, and I had some really bad experiences with the dentist. You know, it hurt quite a bit, and I think they do things better now than they used to. That's 50 years ago. So I remember running into my mom's bedroom, hiding under the bed because I was so scared, and a little gnome came out, and even then I knew it was a gnome. And, you know, we really didn't even talk, but his presence made me not so afraid. So, you know, I don't remember if I even told anyone when I was younger, but if I did, like Jill said, you know, you got reprimanded in whatever depends on who you talk to. So you learn to kind of close when, you know, you don't see it.
And I think, too, you know, speaking of gnomes and fairies and that whole aspect of the human experience, you know, I think LaVon and I have known each other for a while, and we've talked about our lives and our experiences, and that is, you know, that's not the experience I had as a child. Mine, really, I do not have really very phenomenal experiences seeing kind of the other entities that exist in other dimensions of you know, our being. However, my stuff is more non-phenomenal and yet unifying. So I guess by saying that, I guess when I was a kid, I can think of two particular instances. One was hands. I just remember being so fascinated by our hands. Okay, that doesn't sound very exciting and phenomenal, but just as a kid, I would study people's hands. I would, if my mother or father or somebody touched me, it was just such a spiritual experience almost, you know. I found them to be just fascinating. And then the other thing, I guess, is I used to have a crush, like most girls did my age growing up as teenagers, on Donny Osmond. And I remember thinking, I'd listen to his records, and I'd have posters on the wall, you know, and magazines with all the Osmond brothers in them. And I remember sitting in my bed, and I would think to myself, Donny Osmond, come to me. Donny Osmond, come to me. And I thought to myself, you know, I know we have the power through thought to manifest whatever it is we want. I just know we do. I just felt it inside my being. But, of course, Donny Osmond never showed up at my house, and so I just, you know, kind of thought, well, I'm half crazy. But what I didn't understand then was, things manifest, not always instantly, though, not quite in that way. Although sometimes they do, but typically for most of us, they don't. So my experiences are probably more on the experience of coming to understand universal law and how universal law works, under which gnomes and fairies and all these orbs and ETs and all these other phenomena we can talk about, they all experience the same dimensional laws as well. But I'm not one to speak about those because I'm not one who typically has those kind of experiences.
It's interesting because what you're saying then is what, like, I have found out my main mission was to help people remember, not that they have to remember the little stories, but like you just said, that when you had a crush on Donny Osmond, you said, Donny, be here. It's like your soul was still remembering what matters, because that's what I have learned. I do trauma erase, which I use different things with it, depends on who I'm dealing with, and that's my main drive, is to help people remember who they are and remember, and then I try to teach them with their thoughts and words, because that makes your world, that makes, you know, peace, literally, by thinking and dwelling on positiveness, good, not on the bad, because that is how we make our world. So it's funny how you said that, how you knew that, even though you didn't understand, I'm sure now you do, understand why you did that, because your soul knew it.
Exactly.
Yes. So it's interesting. And then, just like I am dealing with a gal, and she calls me about once every 2 weeks or a week with the trauma erase, and I do that on the phone. I do it in person, too, but it works. Like I have found out, even working on the phone is more powerful because the voice. Like I think, Jill, you shared with me, you just found out that one of your more powerful gifts is your word. When you talk. Well, I was told that too. So I really see the universe, how organized it is, because especially Jill and I, we live in an area that is very remote. I live in a little town. There's like maybe 50 of us, if that, a tiny little store. And Jill lives in a town, how many you think is in Malung?
Well, Malung Township, I don't know, I suppose 100.
And we're both in the woods, so we're pretty remote. And usually when you're in these kind of areas, the people are more into the, what you call, religious, you know, even more, what word can you say, Jill, not backwards, but what word would you
well,
say?
Well, very, you know, very fundamentalist, conservative. Okay. The view is quite narrow, quite evangelical, and very hell and damnation,
yes.
You know, to put it very simply.
Yes, and what we just, a little bit, we talked about the gnomes, the fairies, and you said, Donny Osmond, be here. If we did that, we probably would be, I don't know if they'd go as far. I think we may have a call.
Okay.
I think I just have to push my phone like a normal phone. This is new for me.
Hi. This is Kim from Louisiana.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. I had a crush on Donny Osmond, too.
Good. I knew a lot of us, you know, were sharing that crush. So.
If he's listening, he's getting big-headed here.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so I'm calling in this afternoon for a healing. I'm Kim from Louisiana. I'm fighting a virus, but I woke up with severe vertigo, and I have some sort of, like, kind of ache in my heart chakra. I know I've been going through a lot, and I probably just need to take a day off, but I'm hoping for anything that you could, and I wasn't planning on taking a day off. Today's my day with my son, so I was planning on running around all day. But I'm hoping you guys could send me some healing energy.
Okay. Well, yeah. Like Jill and I both found out, our words are very healing. So just talking with you, you're getting some healing energy from us. But what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, either give me your phone number or I'll give you my personal number, and then when we're done, I'll just spend a half hour with you. Does that sound fair?
Well, right now, truthfully, I can't afford it.
Well, no, we don't have to. It'll be free. I'm not going to charge you anything, if that's okay.
Okay, well, I just moved, so I have to dig up my phone number.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, I'll just give you mine, and then you can call me, and I'll call you back, because I have a special phone line that I can call all over the United States for one price.
Okay, let me get something to write with and something to write on.
Okay.
I had a chest wall infection in this fall, and I didn't want to go through the same thing again. In other words, I spent 2 days in the hospital doing all these chest things because I thought I had a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And now I think it's more just like heart chakra stuff.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And I know I'm going through a lot.
Yes, yes.
So, okay, what's your number?
Okay, it's 218.
218.
425. 3983. 3983. Yes, yes. And just like, what time is it by you right now?
It's 1:15.
1:15. So maybe about 2:30, let's make it, your time.
Okay.
Just give me a quick jingle, then I'll call you back. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Well,
thank you
so
much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, ladies. Have a blessed evening.
You too. Thanks.
You too. Good luck, Kim.
Bye.
Okay. So, where were we? Where were we? We were talking about how even when we were young.
Well, I think it might be interesting to address, you know, what Kim was talking about and what she's going through.
Yes,
I have a friend here in town who is having I can't say exact issue, but it's certainly in the chest area where she's having issues, in particular her heart, it has been racing, and she had medical tests, and her physical heart is as healthy as a teenager, but she still has a very high heartbeat. And the doctors can't, of course, quite figure out what it is. And she is on a medication, although she prefers not to take pharmaceuticals. But she needs to in order to keep her heart rate in check. So she's working deeper within the self to say, you know, where in the layers of being is this issue originating from? And she is talking heart chakra. She has looked at the issues in her life, both past and present, to say, here is where, you know, my sadness lies. And here is the conflict that affects my heart, that breaks my heart, that, you know, that damages my heart. So I don't think she's seeing the physical effects, obviously, of her issues yet, because she would then possibly see some kind of heart damage. The doctors could actually detect some things, but it's still at that energetic level. So she can actually do something about it. So I guess what I'm saying, you know, for Kim and for anybody who is symptomatic in any way, you know, illnesses are not just physical. Physical is kind of the last layer to show up. It's happening in the mental body. It's happening in the emotional body and every layer in between. So it's really important to examine thoughts, examine emotions, examine your history, and get clear. You know, awareness itself is the key to turn on the healing process.
Amen. In fact, the only permanent healing is self-healing, and like you just said, and pain and illnesses, et cetera, is really a law of the universe, a friend, you may even say.
Right. The body is simply a manifestation of your every thought, emotion, energetic matrix that exists beyond our typical perception. So, you know, brain scientists, neuroscientists know that we use about 10% of what appears to be the brain's capacity. So, you know, in neuroscience, we can map how the brain processes anger, where logical reasoning comes from, where feeling comes from, what chemicals are released depending on what kind of feeling we're having, how we're interpreting our environment, you know, the thoughts we're having. It's amazing what science has been able to find out about how the brain functions. But even given how much we know already about how the brain functions, that's only 10%. There's 90% of capacity within our brain that scientists have no clue what's going on. Well, one thing we know that's going on is, you know, the heart's beating and the lungs are pumping and the digestion is happening and, you know, there's these amazing things that are going on in the body that we're not even aware of in our everyday life. We breathe about 21,600 times a day. That's a lot of breathing. How many breaths are we consciously aware of? Most of us, none, unless you practice yoga, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is that there's 90% of the unseen world. There's 90% of us that we don't perceive. So there are practices, there are things that if you truly want to delve into a deep spiritual understanding, it takes contemplation. It takes quiet time. It takes prayerfulness. It takes meditation. It doesn't matter what you call it. Ancient Christians have been doing it since the start of their religion. Then, and Buddhist practitioners did it prior to Christianity. The yogic sciences, the yogis in India were doing it prior to the Buddhists. So, you know, it goes back and back and back. But the more we go into self, that's where the answers start to bubble up. But we've got to take the time in this crazy, wild Western lifestyle that all of us live. We've got to carve out some time in every day to get quiet and find those answers within.
Yes, yes. And what's really neat is how the universe sets it up. So people will be in your path. That's why you and I are on the radio, and Kim heard us because she needed someone to help her. So what happens with those like you and I, and of course many that have learned how to do this, our vibration has been raised, so then we can work with those, and like we were just saying, show them methods, because you know, what you said was fantastic, but then there are people who say, well, how? It's really neat how, well, like how I met you, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I first came out of my religious mindset, because I was one of those that wore the long dresses. If you didn't read it out of the Bible, don't even talk to me. But I had to go through an experience, a severe experience, which someone tricked me into doing meditation because I was having kind of anxiety and stuff. But this person didn't dare tell me it was meditation because they knew where I was coming from. But I didn't care. I had to do something. So I did what this person told me to do, which was basically be still, breathe in deep, think of nothing or one nice sentence that's peaceful. And I did it, and within 10 minutes, it was gone. Mm-hmm. So when this person came to see me the next time, I said, what was that? And this person said, meditation. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, this is supposed to be from Satan. So what about this other stuff? So I asked the person to bring me a book, and the book's on everything else. And I remember reading it with such openness, but I had to get to this point. It was pretty severe. And then I kept saying, I need to find someone in the area that could show me more, that I could talk with, give me some books. And I go to this special meeting, and there's Jill, you know. So the universe puts people in your path,
mm-hmm.
just as you need them. Of course, there's a thing called prayer or desire, like Jill said she wanted Donnie to be there, you know. So it's exciting. So then people come and they go. People come and they go. And all of a sudden, sometimes you end up being their teacher. So it doesn't matter. What we need to be is just open to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I am so excited about what's happening. I have to admit I'm just starting to be not as, concerned about what other religious people would think. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with some past lives. You know, because like I was telling Jill yesterday, you come up to someone and say, in past lives or even now, but especially past lives, I'm going to help you. And next minute, you know, your head's cut off because you helped someone the wrong way, according to the organization of the time. So, so it's really neat. So again, if anybody wants to call in and share, ask questions, do like him just did, and then maybe set you a nice. I'm willing to do a half hour. No cost, just to kind of give you a gist of what we do. 877-876-5227, and then in Canada, 888-815-9756. And if anyone would like to have a personal, even a free half-hour session with me on the phone, my home phone number is 218-425-3983. Just because, you know, it's not fair unless I let people see, I'll just get a little taste of what I'm offering. Okay, Jill, so we were talking about how we came about this mindset. Mm-hmm. How, like Jill said, actually when we were younger, we saw things, but when you're in a system that teaches something different, you follow the crowd. And sometimes it's because you get treated a little not so nice when you say this or say that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then so we get kind of brainwashed. But again, I just read the other day that all healers usually have a struggle in their childhood. It's usually not a real pleasant one. Some are more severe than others. But it's for a reason. We choose those all for a reason. And then we don't really remember till we get to be a certain age. And that's, it's always a plan of the universe, and everyone's a little different, but it's kind of strange how it's similar, too. Mm-hmm. Just different, but, you know, it kind of goes into the same pattern. And Jill and I have been blessed because our mothers are very spiritual ladies, and you see that even our children, we've noticed, are, you know, they say an apple doesn't fall far from an apple tree. So Jill, I don't know if I ever did hear how, what was your experience that really made you know that this, there was more than what we were raised?
Well, I don't know if I can, you know, so many people have a one thing, epiphany that seemed to, you know, give them a brand new paradigm or understanding from which to see their life in the world. I think mine has been, you know, a series of probably less exciting kinds of things happening. But, you know, I guess the most important thing that I would want to communicate after really reading and contemplating and searching and trying things out is that probably that last thing. You know, try things out. There's a great book. I've got so many books on my shelves of all different kinds of religious and spiritual persuasions. But the other day, or I would say, in the last 6 months, somebody had given me a book written by Emmett Fox. It's called Sermon on the Mount. And, of course, I came to understand what Jesus was truly trying to teach on my own, because I could start to make the connection between his deeper metaphysical teachings and some of the metaphysics that I was starting to understand through looking at other kinds of readings and traditions and things. And I thought, oh, this is what Jesus is trying to teach. In fact, maybe that's one of the things. When I first I grew up, you know, Christian, and hell and damnation, and God is a vengeful God, and if you don't accept Jesus, you will definitely burn in hell for eternity. And I grew up, you know, kind of scared, you know, because I believed the adults around me. And then I was about 10, and I really started to see, you know, there's so much contradiction. God is a loving God, and yet God is a vengeful God that will send you to hell. That makes no sense to me. So a lot of different things just made no sense. I mean, how possibly could one man build a boat big enough to put two of every single animal on the planet in it? It just wasn't adding up. So I started to see that there was some folly going on, and so I really kind of turned it the other cheek to the Christian religion. But I took some classes in Buddhism in the early 1990s. I would have been in my mid-20s. And I remember sitting in my second class. The first class we went through was called the Four Noble Truths. The second class we went through the Eightfold Noble Path. The reason I had taken these classes, I had been at a food co-op, and there was a poster with this bald-headed guy in the poster, and it said, "Wake up." And I thought, "Wake up? Am I sleeping?" So I looked closer at the poster, and it said, you know, this Sensei Steve Hagen, and he's having classes on Buddhism, and come check it out. So I thought, you know, what the heck? I know nothing about Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, and I'd be interested. So I took the class just as a matter of interest, not because I was seeking in particular. So anyway, the first class, we go through the Four Noble Truths. The second class, we go through the Eightfold Noble Path. And I'm sitting through that class, and this loud realization in my brain says, this is what Jesus was trying to teach, because it resembles the Ten Commandments. you know, or the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount kind of stuff. And I thought, my goodness. So I started to make the connection back then. And then about 6 years later, I was reading, I got very interested in quantum physics. So I was reading my first book on quantum physics. And just a quarter of the way through that book, there was this same kind of realization loud in my head that said, this is what the Buddha was trying to teach. So over, you know, the last 15 years, I've really been able to see the connection between the ancient practices, the ancient wisdoms, those great ancient seers, and what we're actually finding now in the subtle dimensions of beingness through the study of quantum physics and astrophysics and finding out more about the universe. They're completely connected. So it's very exciting. Maybe, you know, I guess as I think about it, that's been the biggest realization over the last, for me, the last 25 years, is the unity between the ancient past and the present.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
They all start off with the same foundational beliefs, and then man just kept adding on all these don'ts and do's and don'ts and do's. And is it, I've even read where Christ sat at the feet of wise ancient teachers. I've heard different theories. So,
well, there's so much out there, you know.
Yeah, I know.
This scholar says this, and this scholar
yes,
says that. But certainly, he, you know, his teachings were definitely influenced by the East. And I would say too, you know, we're talking to people, regular people, Levon, like you and I, who've just been kind of muddling through life, going, okay, now what's this all about, and how does it work well, and how do we express ourselves as beings, and where do we get hung up, and where is society, you know, really sending up false messages. And, you know, as we do that, we all stumble around and we fall here and we get picked up here. And, you know, I think it all comes down to, no matter what your orientation is, whether it's fairies and gnomes or whether it's, you know, like me, quantum physics and ancient practices, you know, it does not matter what your orientation is. What matters is whatever comes to you in your life and whatever the fabric of your life is all about, that you be true to that experience. So, and that's hard because our society does say do this, don't do, you know, do this, do that, have the right house, have the right, you know, SUV, you know, wear the right clothes, et cetera, et cetera. At some point, that tears at your heart. And trying to keep up this kind of false self gets very, very depressing and very wearing. So
it doesn't give you that peace that we're looking for.
You'll never find it there. So
no.
People need to honor the whatever comes to them. And then, oh, this book by Emmett Fox that I started talking about, you know, toward the end of the book, it's a very short book. And when I got the book, I thought, you know, well, this is nice of my neighbor to give this to me. But, you know, I've pretty much read everything on the planet. And I thought, well, I'll take a look at it, you know. And it had such an impact on me because it was written so simply and pretty much in one book, says everything that needs to be said. But, and I was thinking I need to take all the shelves off my books off my shelf and just keep this one in particular. But what he says is the big test for whatever religion you're practicing or whatever spiritual practices you have in your life, the big test is, does it work? So whatever theory you have about how you should live your life, well, then live that. Or whatever thought you have, well, I should be doing this, well, then do that and do it 100%. And then after you've done it for a while, you ask yourself, is this working? And if it's not working, then it's probably something that needs to change, you know. And if it's working, then yeah, you kind of are on the right path. And you know, you can't use outside measures to determine what's working for you. You have to always come back to yourself. Does this work for me?
And there were four rules that I learned that, from my understanding, that almost all religions, their foundation was, is one, accept people as they are, that's true love. Two, treat others like you want to be treated. Three, do not judge.
Mm-hmm.
And then four is not to attach. And when you, that sounds easy, but it's not. It's really quite, you know, especially when situations happen and you realize how much you are not with those four theories. And it does give you more peace. It does make it, because, you know, that's hard on the soul when you look at others not right.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what these four things are saying, how to treat people. But not to attach also helps you stay with yourself, because when you start attaching, you get away from that peace-seeking, I think, anyways, because then you're trying to deal with the attaching things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those four things are, they can give you peace. And I, myself, when you don't judge, that, you know, that really helps me with inner peace, especially when I have to tell myself many times when I see situations, this person chose this. So I need to just sit back and let them work it out, mm-hmm. you know. And under, like Jill and I have talked about this before, the two things, if you can understand and forgive, is such a healing. I'm, I know there's other aspects too, but I think those are strong, you know, strong things that takes away peace when you don't, mm-hmm. when you judge, mm-hmm. when you don't understand. So, but again, those are ancient, right, Jill? Those are not, that's not new stuff.
Right. It's all right. It's all ancient stuff, and yet, like I said, the quantum physics starts to really confirm some of the ancient stuff, which is really fun. But there's I'm glad you brought that up, Levon, because it's so important not to attach. It's so important not to judge. I think we can discern. We can say this is good for me, or this isn't good for me, or
observe.
This,
yeah.
Yeah. Just observe and discern. You know, this person is good for me. This person is not good for me. But we don't have to take it as far to say, this person is not good for me. Oh, and by the way, they're evil. You know, we don't have to take it that far. And you know, I those of us who are healers and sensitive people in the world, you know, I'm sure this is a common experience for people listening. You know, you sometimes cry at night because of the heartache of the entire world. You know, not just your own life. Forget that. It's when you think about, you know, the elderly sitting in nursing homes not being cared and loved, and children who are not being loved and cared for and being abused. And there was a period of my life where that really had me down. And some nights I couldn't stop sobbing. I'd cry all night long. And there's a couple things that help me when I get too caught up in the sensitivities of the world and the suffering of the world. And I think about, you know, I'm only seeing the 10%. You know, it's 90% that I'm not witnessing and observing. So I do need to let go. I do have to know there's a greater plan. And there's this great saying that was found in an old church back in the 1600s. Well, actually, it was written found in the 1600s. I think it was written earlier than that. But it's called the Desiderata for people who know of it. But there's a line in there that says, even though it is not clear to you, the universe is unfolding as it should. So I have to always remember that when I'm getting too caught up in the suffering of the world, because we have to detach if we're going to be an effective healer in the world and not get caught up in the other people's dramas, because they are just dramas. You know, you brought up past lives, Levon, and, you know, Levon and I have talked about this, because I'm not one who wants to, like, get into the past life thing too much, because I just see people get too focused on that, and then they don't focus on their present life. And although having said that, I'm one who's had some really interesting past life lead-through experiences. So not that I tried to. They just kind of popped up. But it's so important that we, you know, be focused in this moment with this life, because this life includes all of that. And it's past lives, our present life, they're just dramas to show us where the energy lies within ourselves. So that which is exuberant and joyful and peaceful and blissful, that aspect of our, that energetic aspect of ourselves, is there for us. So it is a part of our fabric at this point. Those parts of ourselves that are sad and woeful and depressed and maybe angry and maybe vengeful, and some of those shadow experiences or shadow traits of ourselves, those are also part of the fabric of who we are. So those things come out, because I always say, you know, in life, all we're doing is bump. We're here to bump against each other. We're here to bump up against each other, and as we bump up against each other, these things come to light. So we love when we bump up against people where we feel joyful and blissful and happy and exuberant. We aren't so happy when we bump up against those people that bring you know, forth rage in us and vengefulness and jealousy and blah blah blah. But those people are actually helping to highlight for us the energy within ourselves that's still low, that's still fragmented, that still needs to be refined, and the vibrational quality needs to be brought up. So if you can think about your life as more of a story or kind of an art project or a science project, rather than get too caught up in it, and pull yourself away from the dramas that are being created in your life, and then watch yourself work through those, and it is much more challenging to work through those high emotional stuff, that anger and revenge and,
yes.
You know.
In fact, when I do my sessions with people, I always call that person your most favorite messenger, the one that's causing the most ache in your heart. Because if you didn't have that in your energy field, they wouldn't be there. So
yeah.
we need to clear that out of your energy field, which is, some people even call it the aura. That's why auras are different colors, because they show the emotion that you're in. And then when you can understand that this person is just a messenger and that this one really loves you, because it's easy to play, like Jill just mentioned, it's nice when you run into people you get along with real well. But when someone comes along that causes grief or heartache, that one, you know, to be willing to play the bad guy is really, to me, true love. Because that's what it's all about. Like Jill said, we've come here to learn, to clear, to become more like the divine, you want to say. But you know, we're like a pig in the mud. We don't feel the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Or we enjoy it, actually, right?
Well, I think it's important, too, to, you know, not new age it too much either. You know, this whole kind of, you know, unconditional love doesn't mean that you have to have these really gushy, wonderful feelings for everybody. Because if somebody has hurt you in some way, you're going to be angry about it. And anger is a human emotion. It's okay to do that and to have the anger. But there's kind of a fine line between, you know, how you deal with that emotion. If you're just going to send it right back to that person, then you're just locked in a power struggle. But what you do is, you know, when the anger arises in you, then you sit with it and you watch it. And you move with clarity and reason. But it doesn't mean that the anger goes away, and it doesn't mean you're going to have wonderful feelings toward that person that just, you know, triggered that in you. You know, we really misunderstand the whole unconditional love thing. It's about getting to a place of complete detachment. That means no non-gushy feelings, but non-hate feelings either. It's a very neutral place, very neutral. And you will just accept. It's a place of pure acceptance. So you realize that person that just quote unquote wronged you has exactly her or his spot in the universe in exactly the right way, and that's what you recognize. It's not that, oh, I love this person because I'm using unconditional love. No, you probably don't, because it's a higher understanding than that.
Yes, and a lot of times the religious point of view is you're not supposed to have any like anger or anything that's not sweet, but that is not true.
No.
That's just part of being here. And if I can maybe just a short little illustration, a year or so ago there was a situation that I didn't think I was a jealous one. Well, there was two people that I cared for dearly, and all of a sudden this jealous monster came to head. And I was really like, oh, you know. And then I was having a session like that I offer, and the individual got real quiet and just said to me, well, obviously you have some jealousy in your energy field, Yvonne. So we had to do a session, and it was fine. And then another time that little jealousy popped up again, and I did a session again, and it was completely gone. So you can have relief from these lower energies, some people call it, but sometimes they don't go away that easy, and I believe it's because it's layer by layer by layer. But every time that it reappears, it doesn't mean you should give up and think you're no good. You just, okay, I found out what works, let's go for it. I always say, do it, have a session, or go with a teacher, someone that has raised their vibration or has learned some of these techniques. And I always say, when things pop up, you need to try it on your own. If it doesn't seem to work, that just means you need a little help. And that's like Christ in the Bible sent two by two when they went witnessing. Well, the universe sets things up, you know. That's why certain people come into your path, not just to show you what you need to do, but those that come in to show you how to work things out. And I mean, there's so many different methods. So it's really exciting, you know, and I just can't believe the difference that I look at things and feel about things. I mean, 6 years ago, I would be one of these, if I heard you guys, me talking, I would be on my knees praying that Satan leaves her. So a person can really change, you know, and it's really exciting. But everybody's where they're at, everybody. So we have to, and there's even people that are willing, let's say in another past life, somebody did something like, was a rapist, okay? So somebody has to rape that person in another lifetime. And it's a kind of a kind of illustration. Well, someone has to be willing to play the rapist. So a lot of times when you see evilish things that we think are evil, it's not that they are probably just willing actors or actresses so you can fulfill your play that you decided to play in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jill,
mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, you and I are in an area that's quite remote and a lot of people, but, you know, we're finding more people than we think, aren't we?
Well, these are times, you know, that have been written about in many ancient texts and referred to as kind of a shift in human evolution, and not just because the whole universe is centered around humans, which has been the kind of, you know, prevailing thought for the last 2,000 years is that humans rule, but actually the whole structure of the entire universe seems to be shifting. So if you do look at astrophysics and astronomy and some of the space sciences, you know, that we are seeing particles now coming into the Earth that really are new particles. We are seeing some solar activity that hasn't been seen to this point, or in some of the activity that we know about has been increasing. And somebody told me the other day, a neighbor actually, she likes to go into the NASA site, and was reading something, and I guess I hadn't read this yet, but scientists are predicting an actual polar shift of the sun. So the magnetic poles of the sun are somehow unstable and shifting as well. And, of course, polar north, the poles of the Earth have actually shifted some. Polar north is no longer the same polar north it was, you know, 50 or 100 years ago. So, you know, there are true physical changes that are going on in the universe that we can detect and look at and watch. And that is obviously going to have a shift on everything, you know. Some of it more discernible and noticeable, like I think some of the global warming and the weather patterns and all of that kind of thing. That's very easy to observe. And then the subtle changes within the human structure, too. And, again, contemplative practices can help you start to observe the subtleties going on within your own being, of course, within your own mind and emotions, like I described earlier, coming to some awarenesses about how you operate, how you tick, and what your patterns are, and then breaking those up. But also within your own body. I mean, there are things happening that I'm noticing that I've never noticed before. And, you know, I might talk to six people that week that say, you know, I've been having stomach issues. Well, me too. You know, so there are things going on physically within the planet itself, you know. So it's mind-boggling. You know, that's why a person almost doesn't even know where to start talking about some of this stuff. You really have to define what you're talking about because it's all so vast and amazing and beyond description.
That's like when people do connect with us for help or the universe sets us up, we just listen and then we'll know where they're at, and
right. The
universe gives us wisdom to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I know I've gone through quite a bit. I mean, I was raised Catholic, and then I end up I got born again at a Baptist church, and then I went, I mean, name the church, I've probably been there, studied with them, and then I became a severe, strong Protestant, and now I'm this way. But just before I came this way, I had a dream, and the dream said to me, I saw Jesus Christ take his arm, and he moved it across the open field. I was looking out of this big window, and he says, now that you've worked with the Israelites, go to the Gentiles. And anyone that's kind of biblically knows that's what Christ told the Jews or when they became Christians. First they worked with the Jews, and then they went and worked with the Gentiles, or those that weren't in their core, I guess you call it. And because most people that are what you even consider Gentiles, and I know a lot of people have different definitions, they've still been raised or have been among enough Christians to know. So now I understand one reason why I had to go through all these movements. So now I can really speak people's languages, which is, I at least for the mission I have come here to do, because we all have different missions, mm-hmm. you know. So now what do? I basically, and today's program is mostly to kind of let you know where we're coming from, who we are. Again, Jill Peterson, Levon Fieldhaber, we're in northwest corner of Minnesota, but the work that I do can be done in person, but also on the phone. And I am a Reiki master, which the main reason I do my massage and ear candling is because I can use the Reiki gift, because if I put a sign up in our location, and we feel pretty free talking because I don't believe anyone from this corner is watching this or listening, and if they are, it's because they have an interest and they won't be upset. But the main reason that I do massage is so I can cover up that gift, because if I put a sign, come for Reiki, they probably wouldn't come. You know, I'd probably find some tomatoes smashed on the sign or something. And it's not that they're bad, it's just where they're at. 6 years ago, I would never have thrown tomatoes, but I would have probably thought that way. So it's just where they're at. But the main
thing
I do...
You would have thrown a few tomatoes. Come on.
Okay, probably. Yeah. I probably would have done it more quietly, though.
Yeah,
if someone
yeah.
wasn't watching, I'd go up to the person and talk to them. You are on the wrong side.
You would throw verbal tomatoes.
Okay. I probably would. Okay. Well, but the main thing that I do is trauma erase. And trauma erase is what Jill and I have been talking about, digging into the energy field, you know, your thoughts, your emotions. And I use, there's a handful of gifts that come with that. I can see auras, I'm intuitive, I'm very, what is the word, Jill, empathic, when you feel, what is it?
Oh, yeah, she's empathic, so yeah, she's taken away stomach issues for me and all sorts of things. She works on me and then walks away feeling just like I did, and I feel great. So
for about a day, I take people's pain, yeah. So and then emotionally and intuitively, you know, a person you hear voices. I mean, not everyone, but I get messages in all different ways. I have gifted with dreams and interpretation, and so is Jill. She's always helped me out with my dreams. And so what I guess we're just mostly here today is to share with you that, you know, you can, if there's help and you don't have to go all the way even to the cities, you can call a number. Again, my phone number is 218-425-3983. Again, my name is LaVon. Now, Jill, tell them what you do. You know, you have a practice up here. I don't know if you do things on the phone yet, but
well,
what do you do up here?
Yeah, so my daily job is to work at a local physical therapy practice, a private physical therapy practice, and I do myofascial release therapy, which is on the outset or on the outside, it looks like it's a gentle tissue manipulation of the fascia system of the body, which is this jello system of the body that is between every single muscle fiber of your body and also is the matrix for your cells. So it's very extensive, not really well understood by you know, your typical doctor, because it's just kind of being understood by the medical practice in general. But anyway, it's a very powerful therapy for helping people with tightness and chronic pain and different things going on in their body, you know, just on a physical level. On a deeper level, as we release the fascia system, we can also help bring people through a traumatic event that they have not finished out yet in their life, which is one of the reasons why they still have pain. They're still in a holding pattern from some kind of traumatic event. So the emotions from that event, the thoughts from that event, everything can kind of come through as we're doing the body work so that they can have a true resolution and a true healing. For some people that happens, people who can really let go, and for some people there's just too many fear patterns, and it can take a long time to help them, you know, facilitate that. So it's a really fun therapy, and I also teach yoga.
And you're a teacher, period, I feel.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for you, I would not be where I am now.
Yeah, I've always, you know, not been afraid to speak about these things that I have been discovering and learning about, and it's a continual evolution. I continue to learn and synthesize and integrate and share, and, you know, I think what LaVon says is if you're a healer, you meet people where they're at, and you talk about talk to them in their language and talk about things that they can understand and their orientation. It's so important that you not push your agenda on others.
The Holy Spirit, like Christians say, which to me is the same as the universe,
mm-hmm.
will direct you, and you'll be just amazed who gets put in your path. Just like I want to learn more about astrology, and, you know, our friend that lives near you gave me a book to read, Edgar Cayce, by his theory on the life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot in there on astrology,
mm-hmm.
which is simple for me because I'm not one of these that's real deep with big words, so I need it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really enjoying it, and I'm really realizing because I've been desiring that, like Jill said before, she says, Donnie, Osmond, be here.
Well, I'm still waiting, by the way.
Huh?
I'm still waiting.
Yeah. Well, I've been desiring to understand astrology a little better, you know, and I've been being told by my mentor that, you know, she sees that in me, too. So it's interesting how it's brought. And I like reading Edgar Cayce because he was so serious as a Bible-only man, and then he changed also. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I also sell some wonderful, wonderful health items. I have tried, and they're fantastic. And I know, I think one of the hardest things when you're first getting interested in health is what should I use, what should I get, because there's so much on the market. And I feel the things that I have tried are really excellent. I'm not saying there's anything else out there that's just as good or even better. So that is something that I like to let people know that if they have an interest or they need help, I'm more than happy to at least direct them or get some really good items into their hands on vitamins, herbs, essential oils, name it. There's so many things. And it really, the natural thing works for mm-hmm. me at least, and I believe it's better for most people or all people.
Now, and Jill, that's like for a whole other show. I mean, LaVonna and I could talk about... You know, we both practice natural ways of staying healthy, and then when we have illnesses, we use natural methods for taking care of them. And we've shared what we know with others. And, you know, I think we both have stories, LaVonna, of people who've tried everything and nothing worked, and they've been to this doctor and that doctor. They're at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and, you know, doctors want to cut them open because they can't figure out what else to do. You give them 4 or 5 herbs, and pretty soon, you know, their bodies are digesting again or you know, there something is regulated in them that has been unregulated for years.
Exactly. And even some of the massage, Jill and I are both massage, too,
mm-hmm.
just that we kind of use that as a cover-up for most of what we're doing, right? But we are massage therapists, and there are people that we have worked just on a muscle, right? And,
right.
And they can't believe it. And you've seen them a few weeks before with this neck brace and... You know, so she's right. We have learned a lot. And like she said, it could be another whole show because
yeah.
It would be fun just to let people know and then they can call in and say, well, we cannot diagnose,
mm-hmm.
but we could just say, well, this helped this one or what helped us.
Mm-hmm. Great,
you know,
right,
you know.
Right.
And one thing, water. I mean, I've gotten so I drink a gallon a day and water is fantastic for so many things. So.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Jill's right. We could go on and on and on and about this for maybe a couple sessions.
You got to have fun. You know, you got to see your life, like I said, joyfully. Even sometimes when you don't feel like it, do it anyway. I think Dr. Phil is right. You know, you have to behave your way to success sometimes. You just have to not feel sorry for yourself, or if you do feel sorry for yourself, be aware that you are and be okay with that, and then just feel sorry for yourself for a while and then get on with it, you know. Self-discipline is just so important with any kind of meaningful and joyful life because, you know, there's a, I guess Ken Wilber, the great philosopher, present-day philosopher, he's not dead yet, he talks about eros and agape, which are two Greek words for that force, which is upward feeling about yourself, and that force, which is downward feeling. And I think that's a great, great way to understand within yourself your own struggles. There's a part of you that wants to be uplifted, that's seeking a deeper connection with spirit, that's seeking a greater expression of you as a human form. And there's a part of you that's dragging you down. It's, you know, it's kind of apathy and you know, if it goes as far as depression. And you have to work with both forces in the body to manage them, and it takes discipline. It takes discipline. But I think also it takes, you know, if you are in serious trouble, there was a point where I was suicidally depressed. And I thought I could handle it on my own and thought if I read enough books or said enough prayers or did enough meditation that I would get over it. And I needed help. So I wasn't afraid finally to ask for help. So I do want to encourage people, as much as I'm touting, you know, self-discipline, watch yourself, be with yourself, 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 yeah. yourself, don't forget what LaVonna said earlier, which is really be willing to ask for help when you do realize you need it.
Yes, yes, and ask for guidance.
Yeah.
The same, too, I want to make it real clear. We have talked about a lot about religion, spiritual things, and there, it doesn't matter where you're at, and I know we've brought out kind of strong that we're not as into the Christian thing as we used to be, but you know what, there, that doesn't, if you're in a Christian movement, that does that, if that's where you're supposed to be, that's what matters.
Right.
Because there's, even in this movement that I have stepped into and is quite new for me, I'm seeing some of the attitudes that I've seen even in the, you know, how do you call that, Jill, what's a good term, religious documents or doctrines or whatever. You see that in all movements. Everybody's
right.
Where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that obviously I had to go through what I had to go through. So when you first leave certain situations, you kind of see the yuck and you don't see the good. But then afterwards you realize, hey, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be where I'm at either. So, you know, I'm trying to say there's good in wherever you are. It doesn't matter what is on what you call yourself. Because people ask me what I am, and I will tell them I'm a Christian, because I still am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not only a Christian.
Right, right, right.
So there's a difference. And
right. And
I know that this broadcasting, radio, internet thing, I saw the title, so I felt free to talk as open as I did.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you are, don't feel that we're cutting down Christianity.
Oh, my gosh, no. You know, and it's funny because if somebody, you know, says, are you a Christian? You know, again, I have to say, well, define Christian, because,
yeah,
I mean, I'd like nothing more than to be just like Jesus and to get what he got and to understand what he understands, you know.
He was a very evolved spirit being.
Absolutely.
And for what he did, a lot of things got misunderstood and it got blown out of proportion. But in my mindset, I am, because if it wasn't for Christ, I would not be here.
Right.
So, did you hear that beep?
I heard a beep. What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Do we have a call, or are we
done? Do we have a call, or?
Yeah, that's what happened last time.
Okay, I guess we have about 15 seconds, so I just want to thank you for listening. And again, if you want to call for a free half-hour mini-session, 218-425-3983, 218-425-3983. And Jill, do you have anything to say?
I just say, you know, thank you and be a light unto yourself. Enjoy your life.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Sharice Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Sharice sending you light and love on your journey home.